This morning I would like to preach on the collect for the day instead of one of the scriptures. The collect of the day says, "Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and hold fast the hope of the blessed everlasting life in Jesus Christ our Lord." This collect shows us how central the Bible is in the Anglican tradition, that we believe in the Bible and we believe that we need to engage it so that we inwardly digest it and make it part of us. The Bible is the main way that God is revealed to us. There are many other ways God may be revealed to us, but probably the Bible is the main way that we understand how God speaks to us. The Bible is not always easy to read. It can be confusing, it can be obscure, it can be boring, it can be contradictory in places. Many people have started out at the beginning of the Bible with the intent that they're going to read it all the way through and gotten to about Leviticus and said, "Forget it." That's not always the best way to start reading the Bible. The Bible is actually not just one book, but it is a library of books. It's 66 different books, 39 in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. The Old Testament, of course, was written before the time of Christ, the New Testament after the time of Christ, and the Gospels, in the Anglican tradition, we hold the Gospels to be primary because they tell us about the life of Jesus. And so we concentrate on them more than the others. That's why we have the Gospel procession where we bring out the Gospel book and we read it in the midst of the people. Some people ask, how can we be confident that the Bible we have in our hands is the same as the original writings that were written so many years ago? And it's a good question. What's the authenticity of our Bible? And scholars have gone back and they have looked at all the manuscripts that are available as far back as we can find them, and even the little scraps of manuscripts that have been found. And they found very good agreement. And they're quite confident that the Bible that we have is essentially the Bible that was written down so many years ago. The Old Testament, of course, is ancient. Parts of it are 3,000 years or more old. And the oldest parts of the Old Testament were all basically oral history. They were stories told by storytellers and passed down from one generation of storytellers to another. And we know that those storytellers can be very accurate in transmitting the same story from one generation to another generation. And eventually, those stories were gathered up and were written down on the scrolls and kept faithfully from one generation to another, added to as the generations went on. And so we have a good record of what happened so many years ago. In the New Testament, it's somewhat similar. Jesus didn't write anything down. He didn't leave us any written record. He told stories and he taught the people. And of course, he spoke with his life's action of healing and preaching with the people and by sacrificing himself on the cross. But after his death and resurrection, the people started telling stories. You remember the time when Jesus fed the 5,000 on the hillside. You remember the time when Jesus healed the blind beggar. And eventually those stories got rounded off until they're just down to their essentials and eventually written down in the Gospels. And that's what we have today. And of course, the letters of Paul, which form a good part of the New Testament, were letters written for the purpose of being read in the churches. So a lot of the Bible was meant to be heard orally. That's why we have readings from the Bible during the Eucharist. We're going back to that tradition where the scriptures are read aloud and heard through the ear. Faith comes by hearing. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament was written in Greek. All the Bibles we have are translations from those original languages. And of course, there's some variations in the translations, and that's why it's helpful to have more than one translation. If you're trying to find out what a passage means, you can look at it sort of from different angles. There is no one perfect translation. They're all doing their best to translate the word from the original into something that would make sense to us. Our collect asks God to help us to hear the scriptures, to read them, and then to go through it and mark what's most important passages and the most important words that come up with us, and then learn them, study them, find the inner meaning, and then it says to inwardly digest. And to me that means to put it into our hearts. We're asking God not just to give us a surface knowledge or an intellectual knowledge of the Bible. We're asking God to put the content of the Bible into our hearts and to have a relationship with the God who's behind the Bible. Thomas Merton says that God's presence is throughout the whole Bible, just like the smoke of the incense was present throughout Solomon's temple. God is in the Bible, if we can only read it and find it. One of the famous passages in the Bible is in 2 Timothy. It says, all scripture is inspired by God. And I think in the Anglican tradition, what we mean by that is the writers who were writing were inspired by the Holy Spirit. It was not a dictation. It was not a literal writing from God, but they were inspired by God. I think of the Bible as the record of human experience of God. People down through the ages have had valid, powerful experiences of God, and those have been written down as a record for us to learn about. There have been times when I wanted to get an answer from God, and so I said, God, I'm going to open the Bible, and I'm going to put my finger wherever it opens, and that's going to be the answer. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit can't work that way, but I don't think that's necessarily the best way to get an answer from the Bible. The better way is to learn about the Bible, to study it, and seek the appropriate passage to find your answer. Most Episcopal priests' office, if you go into the office of an Episcopal priest, you will see that the walls are lined with bookshelves and there are just tons and tons of books. That's because we feel that we need to learn and study and use the knowledge that has been accumulated over the centuries and put in books to help us learn more about the Bible. Once when I was in Oregon, I went to another church. It was a Baptist church, and we were going to have a stewardship dinner at their church. And so I spoke with the pastor. I went into his office, and I looked around. No bookshelves. There was only one book in that entire office. It was on a big shelf with a big book holder. It was a large Bible. For him, all the answers to every question were there in the Bible. Now, in the Episcopal tradition, we believe that God has given us the tradition of the church and the good minds of many scholars and many people to help us interpret the Bible. So we don't just believe in just one book, at least most of us. We don't believe that the Bible is the simple and literal words of God. But it is God working through the Holy Spirit to give us the Word of God. The great theologian Karl Barth said that when you question the Bible, it questions you. And when you ask, what is this book? It asks you, who is this who is asking? The Bible works on us. Thomas Merton, the great Trappist monk, said there is nothing comfortable about the Bible. It disrupts our easy answers and it questions our comfortable assumptions. Think of that story about about Jesus and the young rich man who came to him. And Jesus said, you must sell everything you own and give the money to the poor and then come follow me. When I read that, I wonder, is Jesus saying that to me? Am I supposed to sell everything and give it to the poor and then come follow Jesus? That's a difficult thing to read. It disrupts our comfortable assumptions. There is a tension within the Bible. It doesn't all speak from one voice. There are many voices in the Bible. There's even contradictions in the Bible and different voices coming through in different places. Some people say, well, I like the New Testament, but I don't like the Old Testament. The God of the Old Testament is too violent, and I just can't believe in that. And I understand what they're saying, because there are some passages in the Old Testament that are repulsive. They show a God that seems bent on violence and vengeance and wrath. The one way I can answer that is that I believe that if you look through the whole of the Old Testament, you will see that there is an evolution in the understanding of the people about God. They come to understand that God is not about judgment and wrath and destruction, but the whole Bible leads and points to Jesus Christ, who is a person of love and forgiveness. But over the course of the Old Testament, things changed. It's also true that everything in the New Testament can be found somewhere in the Old Testament. So the Old Testament is an important part of our understanding. As a priest, I always make it a point to have a Bible study going on. I need to be engaged with the Bible. I need to be studying it. And so every Thursday morning we have our Bible study, and I learn probably more than anyone else. I also appreciate our contemplative service on Sunday afternoon. We have a portion of that service where we do Lectio Divina. We take a small portion of the gospel for the day, and we read it three times with a pause between each one so that we can quietly absorb the passage and let it work on us. In the silence, we learn something about the passage. I think that's an important way for us to let the Bible into our minds and into our hearts. The big question in the New Testament is, who is Jesus? And what does it mean to encounter Jesus? The New Testament is not just about reading about Jesus, but it is learning to have an encounter with Jesus so that Jesus comes alive in our hearts. The claim of the Bible is that it is the Word of God, as long as we are willing to be challenged by it and to struggle with it and to wrestle with it. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and hold fast the hope of everlasting life in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.